This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayetze, and we will start with chapter 29, Pasuk number 32, where the Pasuk is telling you that Leah had her kids. So the Pasuk tells you the first kid, Vatar Leah, Leah became pregnant, Vatelet Ben, and she bore a son, Vatikra Shmoy Reuven, she called the son Reuven, saying, Ki Amra, because she said, Ki Ro Hashem Be'oni, Hashem has seen my affliction, Ki Ato, because now Yehovani Ishi, my husband, will love me. Vatar Hod, and she became pregnant again, Vatelet Ben, and she had a second son, Vatoimer, she says, Ki Shoma Hashem, Hashem heard, Ki Senu Anoichi, that I am hated, Va'iten li gam ezeh, gave me this son also. Va'tikra shmoi Shimon, she called her son Shimon. Va'tar od, she became pregnant again. Va'telet ben, she gave birth to a son. Va'tomer, she said, Ato apam, now yilove ishi, my husband will accompany me. Targumununculus interpreted as his chaberli, will cleave to me, will be connected to me, Eli, ki yoladti lo shloish habonim, because I gave him three sons, al kein koro shmoi Levi, therefore it called his name Levi, which is from the interpretation of a company. Rashi explains that she knew prophetically that Yaakov was supposed to have 12 sons, and he was going to have 4 wives, so therefore for her having 3, I did at least as much as I have. Still, why should he accompany her? So the Mefarshim explained that when you have 2 children, you could hold 1 child in each hand. But when you have 3 children, then you can't hold a child in the hand anymore. You're required to have the husband to help you out. Since this is her 3rd child, she's required to have her husband to accompany her. And maybe that's what Targumunculus means, is chabur, that he's going to be connected to me. Vatar oid. Vatoilet ben, she became pregnant again, and she bore another child. Vatomer, and she said, Hapam oides Hashem, now I will praise Hashem, I'll thank Hashem. Al kein koro shmo Yehuda, therefore she called her son Yehuda. Vatamod miledes, and she stopped having birth. Rashi explains that since now she had 1 more than the average supposed to be, 12 children for 4 wives, that is 3 children per wife, and she already has 4, so she got more than she deserved, so therefore she prays Hashem, and then Vatamod Miled, that she stopped having birth. The Pasuk is telling you basically that Leah had 4 children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. After she had Yehuda, she stopped having birth. Why did she stop having birth? Mayona Shel Torah brings down from Rabbi Melublin that since the Gemara in Brachas brings down that when you praise, you require Noisei Hoidol She'Ovar, you require to thank Hashem for the past, V'tzoyek Alasit, you require to scream and to beg for the future. In other words, you say, Hashem, thank you for what you gave me, but please give me more. Lefikach, therefore, since she only admitted for a past, she was punished that she stopped to giving children. In other words, because she didn't ask for the future, she just said, Hashem, thank you for the past, and she didn't want having anything in the future, so therefore she stopped having children. The only question is, the Torah tells you she stopped having children, which seems to be a punishment. And by the way, we know from Rashi, Rashi tells you that as soon as Yosef was born, Yaakov asked to leave. That is chapter 30, Pasuk number 25. There the Pasuk says, Vayikash Yoldo Rachel as Yosef, as soon as Yosef was born, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov says, Elavon to Lavon, Shalcheini, send me, Ve'elcho, and let me go, El Mekoimi Ule Arzi, to my place and to my land. Obviously, if you to be within the 7 years, then he couldn't ask to leave, because he made a deal that he'll work 7 years for Rachel. So must be that when Yosef was born, this was exactly the end of the 7 years. So the question that we have now, according to what we just mentioned, Yaakov Avinu has 11 children and one girl in 7 years. And Leah herself, she has 6 boys and a girl in 7 years. She has Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Then she has Issachar, Zvul, and Dinah. So to have 7 children in 7 years, how can you call that Vatamud Miladet, that she stopped giving birth? How did she stop? She had one child a year. Even if you go according to the Eben Ezra, that Eben Ezra says that Dinah and Zvul were twins, so then we have 6 births in 7 years. So how can 6 births in 7 years be considered Vatamud Miladet, that she stopped giving birth? And if that is not considered stop giving birth, what is the Torah trying to tell me by telling me Vatamud Miladet, that she stopped having birth? To answer these questions and also give an interpretation on the names of the children of Leah, we'll first introduce an idea which is found on Bereshis Rabba, Medrash Rabba on Bereshis, Parsha Yud Aleph Beis. There, the Medrash is trying to answer a question. Why it says Vayera Voki Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi, and Yom Hashishi? In other words, why it says it was night and it was day on every day of the week, and yet on Shabbat it does not say Vayerev Vayvoker Yom HaShabbat? It seems like the sun did not want to set on Shabbat. So on that, Rab Levi, in name of Rab Zira, says that Lamed Vav Shois Shimsha Oysa Oira, that the light of the sun in the first Shabbat, knowing that Hashem is going to diminish the sun or the power of the light because of the sin of Adam and Chava, so therefore the sun did not want to set for the first Shabbat. The light was shining 12 hours of Erev Shabbat of Friday, that means Friday the whole day, 12 hours of the night of Shabbat, 12 hours of Shabbat, so that's 36 hours, in other words, 12 of Friday and 24 of Shabbat. Kiven sheshako hachama b'motzei Shabbat, once the sun set in motzei Shabbat, Adam Arishon started to get scared because he thought that the darkness came to the world. So Hashem gave him 2 stones and he knocked 2 stones together and he said, Borei Meorei Ha'esh, blessed are you Hashem who creates the lights of the fire. According to this also answers, how come Adam Arishon was only scared Motzei Shabbos? How come he wasn't scared on Friday night? If the sun really set on Friday night, then he should have been scared on Friday night. Why was he scared only on Saturday night? But according to this Medrash, it is very good that the sun actually was lighting or was stayed lit and gave its light for 36 hours. After 36 hours, it started diminishing. And that's why only after that, Adam Arishon became scared. And Hashem had to give him 2 stones to make sparks. And he was able to light a fire and he made a bracha. And that's why we make a bracha, Borei Meorei Ha'esh, Motzei Shabbat. The Zohar says that because of the sins of mankind, the original light that was supposed to be very strong, that a person could see from one corner of the world to the other corner of the world, it was diminished and it was saved for the tzaddikim in future generations, la'asid lavoi. Every time a tzaddik learns Torah, he is able to tap into that light that was original during creation. That after creation, the light diminished, and according to the Zohar, it diminished by 36 sparks, one for each hour the light shone. Since the light shone for 36 hours, therefore it was diminished 36 steps, 36 sparks. And those sparks are found either in tzaddikim of every generation. That's why we say that you require to have lamed vav tzaddikim every generation. Or it was put sparks for people to be able to tap into it. And those sparks are actually hidden in the world. The Bnei Sochar brings down on Mamar Chodesh Adar, Mamar Aleph, Os, Yud. he brings down that kol achushim niskorim etzel chata adam arishon, all the senses are related to at the sin of Adam arishon and Chava. Besides one, we know that people have five senses. We have the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, the sense of taste, and the sense of smell. All those senses were corrupted by Chava and Adam when they sinned. Only one sense was not corrupted. And he lists and explains which ones were corrupted. The Pasuk on Bereishis, chapter 3, Pasuk number 6 says, Vatera ha'isha, that the woman saw, in other words, she saw the tree is good for eating. Vatera, she saw, that is the sense of sight. The Pasuk continues, that Vatikach mipiyoy chava, took from its fruit. So taking something is the sense of touch. Vatoichal, and she ate. Eating something is the sense of taste, things you do with your mouth. And she sinned because she heard the snake. That's chutzashma, that's a sense of listening. But the Bnei Soscha says that the chutzareach, the sense of smell, is not listed in any of the descriptions of the sin of Chava. So therefore, she did not corrupt the sense of smell. And the reason she didn't corrupt the sense of smell could be that since during the description of creation of man on Bereishis 2, Pasuk number 7, there says, Va'itzar Hashem Elokim es Adam, Hashem created man, Ofor min Adamo, death from the earth, Va'ifach Ba'apov, and Hashem blew in his nostrils, Nishmas Chaim, a living soul. So since Hashem himself used our nose to blow the soul into us, so the nose became in a way holier, and that conduit could not be susceptible for corruption. Since Hashem himself blew our nostrils, maybe she couldn't corrupt the sense of smell, but nonetheless, even if she could or didn't, we know she did not corrupt the sense of smell. She sinned in four senses: the sense of touch, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, and the sense of taste, but the sense of smell was never corrupted. And therefore, always when we bring a korban, when we bring something, we say it should be a pleasant aroma to Hashem, because the aroma, the sense of smell, was never corrupted. Also, in the most important day of the year, Yom Kippur, where we try to please Hashem and we want to show favor to Hashem, what do we bring in the Holy of Holies? We bring ketoret, incense, which incense main purpose is smell. And the reason we'll bring incense is because since we want to please Hashem and the sense of smell was never corrupted by the first sin, so therefore it's proper to bring incense. Also, the Gemara in Brachas, Dav Zayin Amud Beis, brings down Menolon de Shmo Gorem. How do I know that the way a person is named, that's what is going to cause him in the future how to act? Omar Rabbi Lazar, the Omar Kro Rabbi Lazar says, the Pasuk says, Lechu Chazu, go see, mi follow Hashem, Hashem's creation, Ashesom, that he puts Shamos Baoretz, he puts devastations in the land. The Pasuk says, Al Tikri Shamot, do not read devastation, Elo Shemois, that Hashem is the one that inspires a person to name a name. And like the Meforshim explains, every time you name a person, that a little bit of prophecy goes in, and the name fits the person, or a lot of times you could call the person's name because you want something prophetically to happen with this child. So going to our answers now. If you take a look, the word Leah is numerical value 36. The Lamed is 30, the Aleph is 1, and the Hay is 5. So that's 36. So Leah wanted to ratify the sin of Chava. Like we mentioned, the sin of Chava caused 36 sparks to go all over the world. So Leah, which is numerical value 36, she wanted through her children to be able to ratify, or her children should grow up to fix the sin of Chava. She knew that Chava sins with her four senses. So therefore, when she had her children, she wanted her children to have special qualities, that through the qualities they'll be able to ratify the sin of Chava. So therefore, the oldest child is Reuven, which is, see my son, through Reuven, she wanted to ratify the sense of sight. And like that, to atone for the sin, that Chava, she saw the tree is pleasant for the eyes, which was the sin by the sense of sight. The second son is Shimon, here, Shoma Hashem, Hashem heard. So through her second son, she wanted to ratify the sense of hearing, that they heard the snake. The third son she called Levi, which Levi means a company. Like we explained, a company means you hold to your children or you get close to the husband. And that is the sense of touch, that you touch somebody and you get close to him. And through that, she'll atone for the sin of Chava touching the tree or taking the fruit of the tree. Now that she had her fourth son, she said, oh, very good. Hapam oides Hashem. Now I could thank Hashem, because since thanking is through the mouth, and the mouth is where the taste comes from, now, by the fourth son, I'm able to rectify all the sins of Chava, and I will be able to bring back the lights and reinstate all the sparks that was lost by the sin. Therefore, Vatamoid Miledes, she stopped having birth, she stopped having children, because she thought, since I already ratified all the sins of Chava, since my name is Leah, and which is Gematria 36, and my mission is to ratify all the sins of Chava, so I did that by having the four senses that was corrupted by Chava, the sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of touch, and the sense of taste. By me having the four children to work at this, I was able to ratify. So Vatamid Miladis, she stopped having children because she thought that that's all she has to do. But as we will see, she was wrong. The Pasuk in Bereishis, chapter 37, Pasuk number 29 on Parshas Vayeshev, where we have the rivalry between Yosef and his brothers, where the brothers, when they see Yosef, they want to kill him. Reuven tells them, throw him into the pit. And then they sell Yosef. The Pasuk says, Vayoshev Reuven el Abor. Reuven is coming back to the pit. Vine en Yosef Babor. Yosef is not in the pit. So Rashi asks a question. Wait a minute, where was Reuven at the sale of Yosef? So Rashi, on his second answer, Rashi quotes the Medrash, which the Medrash is the Medrash Rabbah 84, Simon Yutes. There the Medrash says, Rabbi Lezer says, Besakoy vetanisoy, that he was busy fasting. And after he finished fasting, because he moved the father's bed before, Keshenifna, when he finished, Halach, he went, Itis loisabar, he went to look at that pit, because he wanted to bring Yosef up from the pit. The Medrash is explaining that Reuven, because he moved his father's bed after Rachel died, Yaakov had put his bed on the tent of Bila, and Reuven took the bed out of the tent of Bila and put it on the tent of Leah, because he said, my mother's sister, Rachel, was a rival to my mother, but my mother's sister's slave should become a rival to my mother. So therefore, he moved the bed from the tent of Bila and put it in the tent of Leah. The Pasuk says that Yaakov heard, but Yaakov does not say anything. So Reuven, realizing now that he did something wrong, caused his father not to have a relationship with Bila that night. Therefore, he was doing tshuva for what he did wrong. And after he finished doing tshuva, that's when he decided to go back to the pit. So the Medrash continues. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem told Reuven, Me'olom lechot adam lefonai ve'asa tshuva. Nobody ever sinned in front of me and repented. Ve'ato, and you, potachto b'tshuva tchilo, you started doing tshuva first. because you, Reuven, started doing tshuva first, chayecha, I swear, sheben bincha, that your grandson, oimed, upotech b'tshuva tchila. And your grandson is going to start encouraging the Jewish people to do tshuva. Who is your grandson? Veza. Who is his grandson? Ze Hoshea. That Hoshea, shenemar, it's written, Shuva Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha. That the Jewish people should return to Hashem. So Hoshea is the one that's going to prompt the Jewish people to return to Hashem. And why does he do that? Because his great-grandfather, Reuven, he started doing tshuva first. So therefore, he will merit to be the person that will cause the Jewish people to do tshuva. Again, the Midrash means to say that since Reuven was the first person to do tshuva, that never there was a person who did tshuva first before Reuven. So therefore, Reuven merits to have a grandson that's going to prompt the Jewish people to do tshuva. On this Midrash, we have a couple questions. One question is that the language seems to be faulty, because the language is ato potachto b'tshuva tchila. You started with tshuva first. If you started, obviously you did first. What do you mean you started first? And second, it seems to imply that nobody ever did tshuva before Reuven. And we know for a fact from a different medrash that that is not true. Because the Medrash Rabbah on Bereishis, chapter 22, Simon Yud Gimel, the Medrash Rabbah says that Cain killed Hevel and Cain pleaded with Hashem. And Medrash says, Poga boy Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon found Cain after he came out of, in court from Hashem. Omalei, ma nasa bedincha, what happened in your court? Omalei, Cain tells Adam Arishon, Osisi tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nis pasharti, Hashem mediated, Hashem postponed my punishment. Hischil Adam Arishon metapeach al ponav, Adam Arishon hits on his face. Omar, kachi koicha shal tshuva, so strong is tshuva, v'ani lo isi yodeya, and I didn't know that tshuva is so strong. Miyad Omar Adam Arishon says, mizmo ishi leyom ha-shabbos, that how great is Shabbos, toiv lo hoido is Hashem, it's good to admit to Hashem or to praise Hashem. In other words, Cain meets Adam, and Cain tells Adam, I did tshuva, I repented, and Hashem gave me my punishment not as strong. We mediated a punishment. And Adam says, so is strong the tshuva, so he does tshuva too, and he admits his sins to Hashem. According to this Midrash we just mentioned, we see clearly that Cain and Adam HaRishon did tshuva. If that is so, then the Midrash that we mentioned about Reuven, that Reuven is the first person to do tshuva, seems to be a contradiction. Because the Midrash says that me'olam, nobody did tshuva in Frimi, forever, nobody did tshuva. And we see clearly that Cain and Adam did tshuva. And another question is, why just now, when he's coming back to the pit, is with the Torah, decides to tell me that he did tshuva? What's the connection by him coming to the pit with him doing tshuva? His actions of moving his father's bed was before. So why just now is he doing tshuva before he comes to the pit? To answer the first two questions, Divinerov brings down. Divinerov says that here the language is very important. The language says, "Ata potachto b'tshuva tchila." You started doing tshuva first. Normally, a person up to this time did tshuva only after rebuke from Hashem. Hashem asks Adam, where are you? Maybe you ate from the fruit. After he's confronted by the sin, that's when he does tshuva. Cain too. Hashem asks Cain, where is your brother? So Cain answers, Ashoimer achi anoichi, am I my brother's keeper? And then Hashem says, the bloods of your brother are crying me from the ground. Then he admits and then he does tshuva. But none of them, not Cain and not Adam, did tshuva on their own free will. They only do tshuva after being rebuked. Hashem told them that they have sinned, then they repent. But nobody till that point did tshuva by his own volition, by his own checking his deeds and finding that he did wrong. On their own, to go and figure out what they're doing wrong by themselves, none of them did it. After Hashem rebuked them, that's when they do tshuva. The only one who did tshuva by himself without being rebuked is Reuven. So that's what it means. V'ato potachto b'tshuva tchila. You started doing tshuva first. Not that there was no tshuva until now. There was tshuva, but there was only tshuva after rebuke. There was never tshuva before rebuke. Nobody ever went through his deeds and found something wrong and did tshuva. Only you, Reuven. And because you did tshuva without being told you did something wrong, so you'll merit to have Hosea coming from the Jewish people, and he will prompt the Jewish people to do tshuva. And that's why it says, Ato potachto b'tshuva tchila, you start doing tshuva first. You start doing tshuva before being rebuked. But that still didn't answer why did the Medrash decide to put the idea of Reuven doing tshuva together with Reuven coming back to the pit. What special happened that because he did tshuva, that's why he's coming back to the pit. Therefore, the Vinerov gives a different answer. The Vinerov, quoting Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Imre Sefer, where he talks about tshuva, he explains that when somebody just does tshuva, he's not finished with his sin. What do I mean? Is when somebody, let's say, steals money from somebody else, and he pays back the money that he stole, the fact that he just paid back the money, he's still not finished, because he still hasn't made amends for having the chutzpah of stealing in the first place. Or the opposite, if somebody decides to give you a loan, and you pay back the loan, the fact that the person gave you the loan, you still require to have a karas hatoiv that he gave you the loan, even though you paid it back. You still require to show him hakaras hatoiv, recognition of goodness, gratitude for giving the loan in the first place. And the same thing, when we sin, we require to do something extra for doing the sin, even though we do tshuva, even though we repented, but we require to do something extra for that chutzpah that we had to sin. That's why the pasuk says, sur mira ve'asei tov, that you should turn from bad and do good. You haven't finished turning from bad until you start doing a little bit of good. Until you start doing mitzvahs, then you haven't finished sur mira. So therefore, since Reuven was busy doing tshuva, and after he just finished doing tshuva, now he's going to the pit and he wants to save Yosef. And by that, to finish and complete the tshuva process. Because just by repenting what you did wrong, you haven't finished yet. You have to do something good. And the good deed that he was going to do was to save Yosef. And that's why the Medrash is very perfect. The Medrash doesn't mean to say that forever there was nobody who did tshuva but Reuven. There was nobody who did tshuva for tchila. The Medrash says, Ato potachto b'tshuva tchila. You started doing tshuva for being first, for the having the chutzpah of sinning against your father, like sinning against Hashem. For that you're doing tshuva. Not for the sin. For the sin itself, we find a lot of people did tshuva. Cain did tshuva for the sin. Adam HaRishon did tshuva for the sin. But nobody did tshuva for the tchila, for having the chutzpah to do first. So here, since you're coming to the pit, you're trying to do tshuva, the extra step. In other words, Reuven, you are the one to see that even though you rectify, even though you steal something, you pay back, even though you sin and you do tshuva, you repent on what you did wrong, you still require to go the extra step and do a good deed to atone and to show Hashem how sorry you are for having started and do something bad against Hashem. So for the starting, for the initiating to do something bad, that's why he's coming back to the pit to save Yosef, to do the good deed, to save him, and by that to complete his tshuva process. This week's parsha on chapter 30, pasuk number 14, the pasuk says, Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went, b'meik sir chitim, in the day of the wheat harvest, v'imtzo, and he found dudaim basad, and he found dudaim in the field. Dudaim is described different way, the mandrakes or jasmine. It's something that has fertility-inducing capabilities, and he brings it to Leah, his mother, and Rachel, seeing the dudaim, she asks, give me from dudaim of your son. Leah accuses Rachel of what? You want to take the Dudaim? Now if you took my husband, you want to take the Dudaim also? So Rachel says, because of that, because of the Dudaim you're going to give me, Yaakov is going to have a relationship with you tonight. Tonight is the night that Yaakov normally comes to me, but because of that, I'm giving you this night to be with him. And because she had a relationship that night, the child named Issachar was born. So Rashi asks a question, first of all, why is it written, b'mei tzrichitim? Why is it written that he went in the wheat harvest? Who cares when he went? He should have written, v'yelech Reuven, v'yimtzo debaim basoda. Reuven went and he found Dudaim. Who cares? Why is it so important for the Torah to tell me exactly when he found the Dudaim? The point is that he found the Dudaim. Why do we have to write down it was the day of the harvest of wheat? Rashi answers, to tell you the praise of the Shvatim, that even though it was the day of the cutting of the wheat and barley, they still would not steal wheat and barley. They would only take things that are ownerless. Dudaim, nobody cares about them. They are ownerless. So even though they went in the days of cutting of the wheat, they only took Dudaim because that's what the ownerless. So in other words, from telling you when he went, you see the praise of the children of Yaakov that they wouldn't steal anything and they only took Dudaim. We still have a question, why specifically here did the Torah see to teach me that the children of Yaakov did not steal? What's the connection really that it was placed specifically here? Targum Yonasan ben Uziel explains that we make Tzrichitim, the days of cutting of the wheat, is the days of Sivan. That is the days that we got the Torah. And he doesn't explain anything else. He just says, B'mei Sivan. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, there the Gemara brings a machloikas on the tree that Adam HaRishon sinned. What was the fruit that Adam HaRishon ate? One opinion the Gemara brings down, Rav Meir's opinion, it was grape. Rav Nechemia's opinion was a fig. And then the Gemara brings the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it was achita, it was wheat. Comes out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the fruit that Adam, Rishon, and Chava ate, it was achita, a wheat. So I wanted to say that this is pshat in the pasuk. We mentioned before that Leah thought that since she had atoned for all four senses, since she designated the children to excel in these four things, or the four senses that Chava sinned, she thought that she had rectified the sin of Chava, and therefore, Vatamid Miladah, she stopped having children. But Reuven had a different things in mind. Reuven prescribed to the idea that if you sin, it's not enough that you rectify what you did wrong, you gotta do something plus. So Reuven went, b'mei tzrichitim. He was in the days because he wanted to cut the sin of Adam and Chava, which was Chita. And according to what Targum Yosef ben Uziel says, that was the days of Sivan, the days susceptible for the Torah. So he wanted to cut the sin of Chava. According to this, we translating Tzir Chitim literally, cutting of the Chitim of the wheat, not the harvest of the wheat, means cutting the original sin of Chitim, of wheat. Because he prescribed the idea that you always have to go the extra step, like we saw from the Midrash, that he did Shuvah Tchila. He always does Shuvah for sinning first, for being the one that started sinning for the Chutzpah, you gotta do Shuvah. So he goes and brings Dudaim Basadeh, Shirashirim, chapter 7, Pasuk number 14. There it says, Hadudaim Natnu Reach, the Dudaim give out smell. So we see the Dudaim was for smell. So Reuven was hinting to his mother that it's not enough that you rectified the four senses. You also have to go ahead and rectify the sense that it wasn't sin. You have to do something for the sense that was not corrupted because you require to go the extra step. So therefore he bought specifically Dudaim, and because Dudaim, not Nureyach, Dudaim, are made for smell, like the pasuk brings down in Shir HaShirim. Daruga Saboysen asks a question, what kind of foolish idea is that Rachel will forgo the relationship and will take the segula, will take the fertility drug that helps. How good is a fertility drug if you don't have relationship? How can she forgo the relationship with a tzaddik in taking instead the fertility drug? So Daruga Saboisim explains that Rachel, because Rachel saw what Reuven is trying to do, and since it was a day susceptible for Torah, since it was the day cutting of the wheat, which was the days of Shavuot, so she realized what Reuven has in mind. Rachel decided to do again self-sacrifice and give up her night in order for Leah to be able to have a relationship and be able to complete the atonement for the sin of Chava. So therefore, she's willing to give up her night, tachas duda ibnei, instead or because of the dudaim of her son. In other words, because of the dudaim, I see the meaning of the dudaim, I see how important it is to rectify the sin of Chava, therefore I'm willing to give up my night because of the dudaim of your son, because the dudaim are made for smell. And then I understand the intention of Reuven bringing the dudaim. But Leah was upset at Rachel, and she did not understand completely Rachel's intention, and she thought that she wants to take the dudaim also. But eventually, when Leah has a child, Leah realizes that now what Rachel had in mind, and therefore she calls her son Yisachar. We know that Yisachar is written Yud Sin Sin Chaf Reish, but technically it's only pronounced Yisachar. And there are a couple different answers why Yisachar is pronounced Yisachar. Taruga Saboisim says that the name Yisachar is from what Hashem told Rachel. Rashi on Bereshis 48, Pasuk number 7 brings down, Yaakov is telling Yosef that even though I didn't bury your mother in Maarat HaMachpelah, I'm still asking you to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. And there Rashi says that I buried her there because Hashem told me. And Rashi says that she should be a help for her children, that when the Jewish people will go in the Galut, they'll go into the diaspora by the Galut of Babel, the Babylonian exile, and they will pass through the Kever Rachel, and then she will cry, Rachel will come out and cry in front of Hashem, and according to the Midrash, she'll say, you know Yaakov Avinu loved me so much, and we thought that my father will pray a trick, so therefore we agreed to have Simanim. But when I saw that they're bringing Leah instead, I didn't want Leah to get embarrassed, I gave her the Simanim. So I was willing to give up the love of my life in order for Leah not to be embarrassed. And I was able to control my jealousy in order for my sister not to be embarrassed. So too you, Hashem, that you are not flesh and blood. So you should give up your jealousy or the fact that the Jewish people did idolatry, they served other gods, and you should not make them be embarrassed by going into exile. And then the pasuk brings down Yirmiyahu 31, pasuk number 15 and 16 says, Koil Barama Nishma, that a voice has heard in heaven, Nehi Bechi Samrurim, that a wailing, high, bitter weeping, Rachel Mevakal Boneo, Rachel is crying on her children, Me'ano Leinochma Boneo Keinenu, she refuses to be consoled for her children, because they are gone. So Hashem answers, Koyomar Hashem, so did Hashem say, Mini koylach mibechi, restrain your voice from weeping, ve'enayich midima, and your eyes from crying, ki yesh sachar lepuloseich neum Hashem, that there is a reward for your accomplishment, for your work, neum Hashem, so did Hashem say, ve'shavu me'eretz oyef, and the people are going to return from the land of their enemies. Ve'yesh tikva la'achriseich, and there is hope for your future. Neum Hashem, so did Hashem say. In other words, Hashem is telling Rachel that her crying, her self-sacrifice that she did because she didn't want Leah to be embarrassed, even though she thought she's going to lose the love of her life, which was Yaakov. So Hashem says, Yesh schar liploseich, that there is reward for your deeds. So the Aruga Saboism says that she called the child Issachar because of the language Yesh Schar. Because since Issachar is the letters Yesh Schar, Leah, realizing what Rachel had done again, that she gave self-sacrifice, she gave up her night because she saw that this night was susceptible for Torah. It was also susceptible because of the Dudaim. She realized that she wanted to have completion or atonement for the sin of Chava. So therefore she had given the night for Leah as a merit. It was a reminder for that. She called the child Issachar. And in fact, Issachar is the one that is supposed to be symbolizing Torah. Because of all the self-sacrifice, and actually were able to achieve the goal, that because of the Natnu Reach, because of the Dudaim, and because of the relationship she had a child that rectified the fifth smell, and then we received Torah as a reward. And once we receive the Torah, then the sixth son is called Zevulun, because Apam, once we receive the Torah, is Belun Ishi, my husband is going to cleave to me, which means Hashem is going to cleave to us. So again, according to this comes out that Leah tried to rectify all the four senses that Chava corrupted, because Leah's numerical value is 36 and the 36 sparks got diminished because of the sin of Chava. She tries to rectify the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, and the sense of speech. She feels that she finished and therefore she stopped having children. But Reuven always believed that if you do something wrong, it's not enough to rectify what you did wrong. You're required to go the extra step. So Reuven, to hint to his mother, brings the Dudaim, which the pasuk says, Dudaim natnu reyach, Dudaim gave smell. And Rachel, realizing what Reuven wants to do, and since it was the day of Ksir Chitim, was days susceptible to receive the Torah, so she decides she's going to give up that night to Leah, so Leah should be able to fulfill and having the relationship with Yaakov, and through that she'll be able to bring out Issachar. And Issachar, according to the Aruga Saboism, is Leah's Hakara Satov to Rachel, that she understands now what she had in mind, and Hashem is giving her the reward, and the reward is going to be named in the name of Rachel. And the reward is Issachar, which is Yesh Schar, and Issachar is the one that's going to learn Torah. Once we got the Torah, because we're able to fulfill all the senses that was corrupted by sin of Chava, then Apam is Blein Ishi, Hashem is going to become permanent with us, and Hashem is going to always maintain us and not change us, because we are the ones who merited to receive the Torah. The Ksav Sofer brings an interesting Midrash, which is considered a Medrash Peliya, which is considered a perplexing Medrash. The pasuk that we mentioned in Shir HaShirim 7, pasuk number 14, says, Adudaim nat nureach, the Dudaim gave smell. So the Medrash says, Ze Dudaim shel Reuven, this is the Dudaim of Reuven, Val pesachenu kol megadim, in our doors have all the good fruits. So the Medrash says, Ze ner Chanukah, this is the candles of Chanukah. Chadashim gam yeshenim, new and old, doidit sofantalach, my beloved has saved for me, has hidden for me. Ze Torah shebechsav, veze Torah shebapeh. That the things, chadashim gam yeshenim, new and old, is Torah shebechsav and Torah shebapeh, the written Torah and the oral Torah that Hashem kept for us. So the Ksav Sofer is trying to understand what is the connection between the Midrash. But I wanted to say, according to what we just mentioned, that since the Dudaim that Reuven brought was the one that elevated the sense of smell, Dudaim nat nu reyach, and by elevating the sense of smell, we're able to ratify all the sparks that was corrupted by Chava. And if you take a look, the candles of Chanukah, that we light a total of 36 lights, because 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 is 36, which is equivalent to the 36 sparks, which is also equivalent to the name of Leah, which is 36, which means that because Reuven was able to hint to Leah, she was able to ratify the 36 sparks, and because of that, we received Issachar, and Issachar is Torah, which signifies Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. I want to say, that's Pshat in Pasuk, that Dudaim Natnu Reach, that's Reuven. V'apesachenu kol megadim, our doors, all the sweets, is the candles of Hanukkah, which is 36. By that, we ratify the 36. And once we ratify 36, we're able to get Chadashim Gam Yeshenim, we're able to get the Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, which is signified by Issachar. So Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should be able to rectify again and enjoy, since we're coming close to Hanukkah, month of Kislev, we should be able to enjoy the lights and then be able to rectify the lights and bring it back to its source. And also Rachel's prayer, Rachel's cries should take effect. And all the Jews should go back towards Israel. And Moshiach Tzidkenu should come, Beis HaMikdash should build, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.